waiting for a flight to be on.
Yeah. Guess. All right. Good morning and welcome. This is the North Dakota Public Service Commission special meeting scheduled for 11 o'clock. It's a little bit after 11. We're in the PSC hearing room on the 12th floor of the Capitol. This is Kevin Kramer. Along with me are Commissioners Clark and Commissioner Kalk. The special meeting has a single agenda item, and it is in Commissioner Clark's portfolio.
I move that the Commission file an application with District Court Northeast Central Judicial District for appointment as trustee of Northwood Mills Limited Liability Limited Partnership at its Northwood, North Dakota facility, and ask the court to join Travelers Casualty and Casualty and Surety Company of America to the proceeding and required deposit of the bond under North Dakota Century Code Chapter 6004, Public Service Commission Case Number GE0931.
Second.
As the motion indicates, this deals with a facility, grain processing facility in Northwood, known as Northwood Mills LLLP. Northwood Mills was issued a grain warehouse license a few years ago, July 12, 2007. Originally, they were crushing soybeans into oil, but they switched to canola in early 2008. It's our understanding that that Northwood Mills stopped receiving canola at the end of last year, December 31st, 2008, and they stopped crushing on January 7th of this year. On January 14th, we received a written notice from the facility asking the commission for permission to close the facility under state law when a facility is no longer going to be doing regular business there when a licensee is no longer going to be doing regular business. They need to notify the commission, and that was processed by the commission. Now, on January 20th of this year, the commission received a claim from Columbia Grain for non-payment. And basically what happens under state law is as soon as a producer, another facility, anyone who has sold grain to any facility makes a claim to the commission and says that they are validly asking for payment, they're not being paid, that starts the whole insolvency process from there. It's our understanding that some of the inability to pay has to do with a sale of a fairly large sale of canola oil that apparently fell through. That started the chain reaction for Northwood that has made it so that they are unable to pay claims at this point. One of our facility inspectors visited earlier this month on the 21st and 22nd to Northwood. As you may know, the commission has available as trustee both the assets of the elevator, the actual physical grain assets, as well as the bond. Unfortunately, as is often the case in these proceedings, there was not any grain inventory. Now, there was one truckload of meal valued at roughly $5,000 and 10 tankards of oil that is approximately valued at about $500,000. One of the things about this transaction, which of course bit Northwood Mills, it looks like, is with the falling value of commodities, they lost a good deal of the value of the oil over and when they had originally sold it. The 10 tankards of oil are something that may or may not be something that the commission has available to it. It will probably be something that is of some debate. The bank at this point has control of the checkbook. It appears that there may be a collateral to the bank that might bind the oil and meal. That lien is being reviewed by the Attorney General's office and will be one of the things I'm sure that's an important part of this case. There's only a $50,000 surety bond. It's a fairly small facility, and unfortunately there's a lot more grain claims than the bond. The grain claims at least initially looked to be about $860,000. That, of course, is subject to change. The commission, if it is appointed trustee by the court, has to go through a notice period where we give other claimants the ability to get in on that that insolvency proceeding. But at least in reviewing the records that we have, it looks like it's about in that $800,000 to $900,000 range.
All in favor?
Aye. That ends the items.
All right, that ends the items on the agenda. Anybody have any announcements while we have folks gathered? If not, questions?
Just a, you know, a $50,000 bond is not going to go very far, what you're basically saying. So.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, this is one of these cases, again, that I think really does merit the legislature and the commission looking at exactly how we bond facilities in North Dakota. Now, this happens to be an oil crushing facility, but it could just as be applicable to any sort of processing facility, from a bird seed plant to an ethanol facility. The producers don't operate on the same model as the traditional warehouses that the commission dealt with, where there was some correlation between capacity size of the elevator, which is how we bond, and the potential liability that might be out there for the producer. More and more often we see that the processing facilities may have very small warehouses, and so they merit a very small bond, and yet from a liability standpoint, they go through a lot of grain, sometimes very high-value products in very volatile markets, and so that there seems to be a disconnect sometimes between the amount that's required to be bonded and the type of liability that a facility incurs.
I've just spent 2 hours with the Appropriations Committee in the House, and they've asked very specifically for some analysis, if you will, of that very process.
Do we have an idea who is the largest potential? Is it Columbia Grain or
no? Columbia made a payment or made a claim for about $20,000, but they are not the largest that we have. It looks like there are at least 12 claimants that we know about right now. Four producers. The majority are actually other licensees, so other elevators or roving grain buyers. And the largest is in the $260,000 neighborhood. It's another elevator, North Central Grain.
So if the Public Service Commission is appointed trustee, are the options pretty limited because of the bond size?
Well, if and when the commission is appointed trustee, and I don't see that there will be a problem with that, but of course you never know, the court has to appoint us trustee. At that point, there could be some discussion about a few things. One would be the value of this oil, and seeing if the commission has, as trustee, the ability to marshal that asset, or if we don't, or if there's another entity like a bank that has a lien on it. I mean, those are things that I'm sure we're going to be exploring and trying to do as much as we can on behalf of the producers. That'll be at issue. There may be questions about, are any of these credit sale contracts, and so might be eligible for the indemnity fund as opposed to the bond and asset fund that we'll be marshaling. I mean, those will be two things to come up. It wouldn't appear, at least at first blush, that most of these will be eligible for the indemnity fund, but there is a possibility of perhaps one, maybe two. Oh, because the indemnity fund only is available for credit sale contracts, which is defined as being paid 30 days out. Everything else is cash sales, and cash sales under state law aren't eligible for the indemnity fund, but only the bond and proceeds. And, you know, we'll have to sort through those contracts and see if any of them qualify. I mean, it'd be nice if you could get some of them in the indemnity fund to produce, or, you know, get a little bit more payment for the others, but it's all a matter of facts.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Act like a reporter, not a bureaucrat.
We prefer that you act like a bureaucrat, but you can still ask questions.
You folks have the authority to raise those bonds at any time that you feel is necessary, like in this case. Isn't that correct?
The bonding amount, Sue, I think it's all set in administrative code, so it'd be a rulemaking proceeding. We're sometimes asked. Now, there is a minimum. I mean, the state law says the minimum is X, but then the commission sets. And from time to time, we have talked about raising those bonding limits. Now, the problem is when you talk about, say, an ethanol facility or any high-value facility, you almost couldn't raise the bond high enough in some cases to produce adequate coverage because of where commodity costs were. Two, in past discussions about bonding, North Dakota traditionally was a little higher than most states. The concern is that bond companies, and this is the catch-22 we get in, especially with new startup companies and whatnot, insurance companies typically will require net assets available equal to the face value of the bond. And so especially with startup processing facilities, if you set the bond too high, they can't get bonded, and then they can't get licensed, they can't get into business. So that creates a bit of a problem. And the third issue that we've struggled with is that a large part of the agricultural industry, especially grain dealers and so on and so forth, has resisted moving to, for example, as opposed to a capacity-based bond, a handle-based bond, where you'd be based on the number of bushels that you handle in a given year. I've always treated it like it probably needs to be as much a legislative issue as a commission issue, because if we try to promulgate administrative rules and have 75% of the ag industry opposed to us, the fact is it's going to be held up at the administrative rules committee, and we'll be back in front of the legislature anyway.
Mr. Chairman, my point is, though, that you guys had the authority to do that. If you do, if you ever walk down the street, you know, particularly when this thing switched over, that they were in trouble and that probably more protection would be required than under normal circumstances. And that's the question I have.
Well, except we don't have financial auditors in North Dakota.
The ability to go in at any time.
So, yeah.
Actually, our inspector was out there in August, and at that time they were current and they were paying for all of their grain purchases as provided in their contracts, and most of them were a net 7 days. All of these grain purchases appears to have been taken in beginning at about the 18th of November.
Yeah, in this case it sounds like they had a large shipment of oil, valued at, I don't know at the time, how much, Sue?
Approximately $2 million.
$2 million. Had sold it, entered into contracts based on it, and somewhere up the chain, someone defaulted on the contract. And now they've got this oil back, and it's worth $500,000. Sold at $2
million. Well, if I could, too, it's the sitting here listening to the discussion, it's not like there's not something that the state needs to do. But I go back to Commissioner Clark's comments about the model is different for this type of an operation than others based on how we used to do bonding. So go back to the legislature, you go back to what the commission's up to, what your office does. We need to sit down together, maybe do a little study on this and figure out what it looks like, how we should bond these elevators, because is this a one-time occurrence or is this the beginning of a trend? That's the real question that we're not talking about here today. So I think mm-hmm. that it has to be taken care of with all of us in this office, as well as other folks listening, to solve this problem, because this kind of stuff cannot be happening, because there's a lot of people that are caught in the hook in this kind of deal. So, I mean, we'd be happy, speaking for myself, of working with anyone to figure out what the new model would look like and maybe try to figure out what the next step is so we can avoid this kind of things happening in the future.
And unfortunately, this may be an example of when we talk about the volatility of the commodities market, what can happen. And I mean, it looks like this might be I hate to use the word very good example. I mean, it's an example of what can happen when you have contracts based on one price, something happens somewhere else and things fall through.
And the fickleness of policymakers is pretty well illustrated in the way that indemnity fund has changed with the market at any given time. If the legislature meets when prices are low, the indemnity fund cap is too high. Now they're getting together and they're saying, wait a minute, maybe the indemnity fund cap is too low. I'm afraid, yeah. So, anyway. If there's nothing else, we'll close the meeting.
Thank you.